It's October, and that means students across Rhode Island are filling in bubbles on standardized tests. The annual use of testing in math and English has become a controversial tool for rating schools and making decisions about high school diplomas, and it will soon be part of teacher evaluations, too. One researcher who started out supporting standardized testing now says it's part of the problem in public schools. Diane Ravitch has become one of the strongest voices in the national debate, and she spoke at the University of Rhode Island last night. Before her talk, she took a few minutes to speak with Rhode Island Public Radio. Diane Ravitch, it's great to have you in the Ocean State.
Elizabeth, it's wonderful to be with you.
Your new book, Reign of Error, focuses on what you call the privatization of public education. So I'd like to unpack that term a little bit. What do you mean by privatization?
I mean that what we've been seeing over the past decade, since the passage of No Child Left Behind, is that the test scores are used to tell a narrative of failure, which I show is not true. Our American public schools are actually a tremendous success. And yet the story is our schools are a failure, our schools are broken, the test scores are low. We have to find something, anything to do with them. We have to turn them over to private management. We have to have vouchers. We have to have charters. And so the testing becomes an integral part of the privatization movement because it provides this data, which is overhyped, to say we have to dismantle public education. What I argue in my book is public education is working very well indeed, except where there is high poverty and high racial segregation. And where those conditions exist, the schools are in terrible trouble.
Now, let's talk a little bit about charter schools. Rhode Island has 19 charter schools right now, and all but two of them are homegrown charter schools. And what I mean by that is they're not for-profit companies. They're not franchise charter chain schools. They're publicly funded nonprofits started by local residents who are looking for a way to better serve students. Are these schools part of the privatization movement that you speak of?
You know, there are different kinds of charter schools. There are charter schools that actually meet the needs of the local community. If a charter school is addressing the needs of, let's say, for example, dropouts, that's a very valuable help to the public schools. If the charter school is taking the weakest students and helping them catch up, if it's taking the students who have low motivation and low test scores who are completely tuned out of school, that's a very valuable adjunct to the public schools. What charter schools and public schools should do is collaborate. What most charter schools do today is that they skim. They don't take the kids with the extreme disabilities. They don't take the kids who are English learners. Or if they take any, they take a very small proportion, and those with the mildest disabilities. And in that way, they actually harm public education.
But a lot of charter school advocates say, you know, there are some charter schools that are not succeeding, but there are many that are doing very well. And even in Rhode Island, we see some charter schools that are far outperforming the regular public schools in their same districts. What do you say to parents who are looking for better alternatives and they see those schools with better test scores?
But you have to look at the particular school. Does the school accept the children who have disabilities? Does the school exclude the English learners? Does the school kick out the kids with low test scores? That can become very dangerous to public education because it turns us into a society of consumers instead of citizens. People begin to say, what's in it for my child? I want my child to go to the school where all the kids are white. I want my child to go to the school where there are no English learners, where there are no troublemakers, where there are no kids with disabilities. And then we begin to have a consumer society where the rule becomes segregation.
I'd like to turn now to a controversial policy in Rhode Island that ties high school diplomas to standardized test scores. Students starting this year have to show at least partial proficiency on the state test, which they take as 11th graders. And if they don't, they can retake the test. They will be allowed to graduate if they improve. But this has been very controversial in Rhode Island. And Diane Ravitch, I'm curious, what do you think of this use of standardized testing as a sort of high school exit exam?
Well, I'm opposed to the use of standardized testing. I think the tests should be made by the teachers. I think the teachers who know the kids make the best judgment about whether they're ready to graduate or not. I think in Rhode Island, you're going to see a dramatic number of kids unable to get a high school diploma You may see as many as 15 or 20%, 25 or 30% of kids who cannot graduate high school. These kids are going to be ruined for life because of some stupid standardized test. And I say stupid because I spent 7 years on the Federal Testing Board, and I can tell you that many of these standardized test questions are poorly written. Many of the answers are wrong. There's no right answer, or there are two right answers, or the smart kids gets the wrong answer because they thought about it too much. The tests increasingly are going to be graded on a computer. They're going to be taken on a computer and graded on a computer. So we're not raising the quality of education by using standardized tests.
Well, the difficulty in part in Rhode Island is we are seeing large number of students graduate from high school and still need at least one remedial course when they get to our community colleges. I think the number is about 75% of students needing at least one remedial course at the Community College of Rhode Island. How do we make sure that students are mastering the basic math and English they need before we hand them a diploma?
You have to remember that we've been in the era of standardized testing for at least the last dozen years. So every one of the students coming out of Rhode Island high schools today have grown up in the era of No Child Left Behind that required that they take standardized tests every single year. Something is terribly wrong with this narrative. Standardized tests don't teach anybody anything. So we have gained nothing from 12 years of focusing on standardized testing. One of the things that I recommend in my recent book is that we look to the example of Finland. In Finland, they have no standardized testing at all. They have only, at the very end of high school, they have a standardized test for getting into college. But the kids go from the beginning of school until the end of 12th grade without ever taking a standardized test, and they do extremely well.
Rhode Island's Education Commissioner Deborah Gist has championed this new testing graduation requirement, and she's a strong supporter as well of using test scores as part of a comprehensive evaluation of teachers that's rolling out now in Rhode Island. She also helped the state win a $75 million Race to the Top grant. It's funding a wide variety of initiatives, including training on the Common Core standards and a program for transformative principals. Diane Ravitch, how would you grade Commissioner Gist's approach to public education?
Well, I wouldn't grade Commissioner Gist. I think that, you know, she has her job to do, and obviously the people who are in charge of the state like what she's doing. I happen to believe, and I'm going to explain in my lecture, that evaluating teachers by the test scores of their student doesn't work. It's been tried now over several years. Bill Gates has put hundreds of millions of dollars into doing it. Arne Duncan has poured over $4 billion into doing it. It hasn't worked anywhere. What has happened is when you evaluate teachers by the test scores of their students, the teachers who teach difficult children look bad. The teachers who teach in the affluent suburbs look like good teachers. When you ask teachers, why were you effective this year and last year you were ineffective, they say, I have no idea. I did the same thing both years. Nobody understands the metrics. Literally, no one in this country understands the metrics of using test scores to evaluate teachers. It is invalid, it is unstable, and the ratings are completely meaningless.
But in Rhode Island's system, the test scores are just one part of the measure. There are other factors, including classroom visits, goals that teachers set for themselves, and how well they achieve those goals. It's not just the test scores. Is there any role for test scores in a teacher evaluation?
No, there's no role at all for test scores in a teacher evaluation. We do not have bad teachers. I know that your own evaluation showed 95% of your teachers were rated as effective. And, of course, everybody started backtracking and saying, oh, that can't be true. Well, as a matter of fact, in every state that has a teacher evaluation system, it turns out that something like 95 or 98% of the teachers are, in fact, effective. We have very good teachers in American public schools. In fact, many of our lowest performing schools where the test scores are horrible have excellent teachers, but they're dealing with tremendous problems of A, kids who don't speak English, B, disproportionate numbers of kids with disabilities, and with the kids of poverty who have asthma, who miss many days of school. I mean, the problems of our society are enormous, and we're blaming everything on the schools, and that's wrong.
So if better teacher evaluations are not the answer, if standardized testing is not the answer, what would you propose as some solutions for families who are looking around at their local public school and saying, this isn't where I want to send my kid?
There are many things that we should do. Among them, we should have universal pre-kindergarten, universal early childhood education. We should have health clinics attached to every school where kids are poor. We should have arts in every school. Every school should have a vibrant, vibrant arts program. There should be physical education every day. Every school should have a balanced curriculum that includes foreign languages and history and civics and mathematics and science, the arts. All of these things are part of what make good schools. Every school needs parent involvement. So if I were a parent in any city in Rhode Island, in any town in Rhode Island, I wouldn't say, how can I get a charter school? I would get involved and say, how can I make our school a better school? How can I work with the parents? How can teachers and parents work together with the principal to make sure that this school meets the needs of this community? We want our kids to have what the kids at the very finest private schools have.
Diane Ravitch from New York University, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.